This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's time for the Coach's Show with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris.
The Coach's Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Dave Archer.
Back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, I'm Dave Archer, and this is the Coach's Show. We get a chance to catch up with our head football coach, Raheem Morris. Things didn't go well for the Falcons. Didn't go the way they wanted them to. There were some things that did go well in the game. We'll talk a little bit about that with Coach Morris. And there's some things that didn't go the way they're supposed to, and that's why you lose a game when it turns out. Raul, you and I talked a little bit after the game, and it's hard to digest in real time. I know you get a really good job of feeling it out, and you answer all those questions, stupid questions I throw at you. But tell me about, now that you've had a chance to look at the tape, I'm sure on the plane a couple times since you've been back, what kind of developed there that puts you in the position you're in to maybe be in a tight one there?
I'm not a plane watcher.
Okay, good.
I'm not an emotional watcher. I don't like to do that one. When you watch it emotional,
well, that's good.
Around your guys, it's always a bad deal. It's always better to be in the moment, kind of like the players. I always like to say, like, you know, just be in the moment of it, you know, good or bad or whatever the case may be while you're coming back home. You know, don't lose that mindset of the togetherness. I don't like to lose that.
Great.
So I like to watch it when I get home and by myself or in the morning the next day in order to flush it out my system to be ready for my guys to give them some real authentic answers off of tape work rather than the tape work on the plane where everybody's a Monday morning quarterback at that point. So I don't like to do the emotional watch. You know, I've kind of adapted to that as of late, but it's kind of been really helpful for me to be empathetic with the guys all the way up into the moment when it's time to correct and it's time to do those things, if that makes sense.
I love that. And I think an insight that I don't think that anybody would have known. I certainly didn't know it. I've seen coaches watching tape on the field. I know some of the players will watch on the plane. And that gives you an idea, folks, of why this guy is the guy we're supposed to have running the show here, because of his ability to dissect things and keep things separated from other things. And in his corrections now, today's a correction Monday. He can come in and make some corrections. Players can absorb that. So once you had a chance to sit down in that private time, after you took your time to be with your team on the plane, what did you see this morning?
It was, I've kind of said this to you before, but it was truly the game of the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? It was a lot of good. Trust me, it was a lot of good, particularly for the defense after that first drive. A lot of good for the offense, you know, once they got going in that second quarter and got stuff clicking off the right way. There was a lot of good on special teams with, you know, some of the tackles and how we covered and some of those type of things once we got going. But there was some bad, and the bad were some one-on-one losses. The bad were some, you know, one-on-one losses on offense, what they talk about in protection, one-on-one losses on defense when you talk about in coverage, or a one-on-one loss when you're talking about the operation not going as well for you to make those kicks, things of that nature. Then there's the ugly, right? And the ugly was the situation when you miss a tackle right in the open grass, when you have them in the grass, when they're able to to get more yards. Or on offense, when you don't run a correct route and you run something else. Or on special teams, when you get a kick blocked, right? Those when things go ugly. You want to get rid of all the ugly. You want to mitigate the bad, and you want to make more good, right? To put it in the simplest form. And the guys really went out, and we came out with this slow start like you talked about. It didn't have the urgency that you needed to have in order to go out there and take a game from a team that you knew were coming here pumped up. You knew would have it up and going. And we were able really to survive the wave in that first quarter with them having the ball for about 10 minutes or 11 minutes and us having it for two, and really got away with that thing. And they only scored their first points, I believe, in the second quarter, and they got the 3-0. Then they got the 10-0. So it felt like we put them out to this 10-point lead, and then we came storming back to make this thing even and keep it a game and was really put ourselves in position to win it. But then we had a lot of ugly happen. And those ugly things were the things that stopped us from winning the football game.
All right, well, let's talk about one of the ugly things. And I know missing kicks is something that we have not really had a taste of around here, because the guy kicking it has been about as good as anybody in the National Football League. But you got one, you got two that were missed, and one was blocked. So I think if you're looking, and I know the fan wants to put a finger on who to blame, we don't really do that around here because it's a team concept. What do you do from a mental piece, Raheem, and you and Marquise, when you talk to Young Way about some of the misses? I know some of it's technique wise, but kickers are mental, you know, and when they start to miss them, then that starts to bother them.
Fortunately for us, I was a little less mental than most. You know, we got a genuine tough guy, that's our kicker, who puts that thing and moves on to the next step as quickly and as soon as possible in order to move forward throughout his process. And he'll go back and he'll evaluate himself and some of those type of things, his approach. He'll be really detailed and worried. He wants to kick it, how he wants to kick it, you know, the height, getting into the center of the ball, things of that nature. That's what he does on a normal basis. But for us, realistically, it's about just taking him back to that spot and letting him go to his process and be ready to come back and hit a kick, because he's been hitting it really well for the most part for us throughout the year and in practice. And I think that was an anomaly as opposed to who he is. And we'll get him back ready to go next week and ready to go this week, obviously, in practice, but he'll be ready to go for us and ready to make some clutch kicks like he's been making for us even this year. The last time we played the Saints, you know, playing the Bucks, all the big kicks he's made for us, like, I still got all the confidence in the world, like I said yesterday in the press conference, in him, and knowing he's going to go back to just resetting himself and getting back to what he got to do. It's kind of what we talked about before, you know, persist and deal, you know, and that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, and I have no doubt about that. The guy's been a big-time player for this team for a while. Let's talk a little bit about the start, Raheem. You talked about slow, and I went back and looked at tape a couple of times, and maybe I was kind of incorrect in slow. Now, for you, it might have been slow, but, I mean, you get the first down. Ray makes an unbelievable catch on third down to extend the drive, and then you've got Drake open on a kind of a wheel out of a bunch look, and he almost gets his feet down. If that's complete, we may be not talking about a slow start.
We wouldn't be. You know, it was then you cross there, you get into their territory, you're in plus territory after that hit, and you're ready to go. But we kind of missed the throw a little bit, sold him a little bit. Drake can't come down with it quite in bounds. It was our screen and go play, and it worked to perfection. We were ready to go. We executed it right. We didn't get the throw and the catch at the right point, or we moved the chains again on the third down, and we got the ball. And that time possession changes, and who knows what we do, and we can start going like that. So it started slow because we didn't get that. But if we get that, we're right where we want to be, moving how we want to move.
All right, they take over the football, and they get a little bit of a footing in the run game. And it's interesting, the mirror between this game and the other game, it's almost the exact opposite, except for the first quarter, where you guys gave up some running yardage in the first quarter. I think they had 57 yards rushing in the first quarter and ended with less than 100 yards rushing in the game. So the door got shut on that. But they possessed the ball on you guys for almost 11 minutes, like you said. Is there something that you're seeing that has allowed teams to run a little bit more successful in the first quarter than they do the rest of the game?
Again, we just talked about it, right? It was a part of that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the nervous energy. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
The something when the game starts, when you can go to a simple run fit and you miss it by some of your better players, and it's mind-boggling to all of us. And then right after that, you clean it up. And it's like, bang, 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 knock it out. Stuff that we practice, stuff that we've seen, stuff that we've done, or even a missed tackle or bad eyes, like on that big long play that they had that we got lucky when they caught back. You know, all of those things kind of factored into being things that you need to start faster with. And how do you start faster? You just go out there and execute with stuff that you did the rest of the game, but you need to do it as soon as you come out. And like, that's got to be something with our process. That's got to be something we talk about, something we point a finger on, and be able to go out there and ready to attack that in itself.
You got a couple special guys that are running the football, and you got a group of guys, receivers, tight ends, and offensive line that are special coming off the ball. And we got a chance to see it again with the two guys running the ball. You had 181 yards rushing, only 15 yards rushing in the first quarter. That tells you how you took control of the football game running the football. Tell me about that part of it as it continues to get better and better every time you go up.
Yeah, like we talked about, we barely had the ball the first quarter, you know, and like, so we spotted them a quarter and 10 points, and we go out. And we're able to run the football where we're able to because of Bijan and his just sick athleticism, Tyler and his brutality style of a run. And then you had the O-line up front with them guys getting off the ball, playing fast, speed off the ball, and our receivers the way they block downfield. Everything was just hitting for us in the run game. We're able to go out there and do some special things. And it's no more fun than watching Bijan when he gets the ball in the hole and not knowing exactly what's going to happen other than positive things. Yeah, he's dynamic.
Well, and you go to the fourth down situation down on the goal line. You hammer with the bowling ball of razor blades three times, and give Tyler credit. He hit it as hard as he could. They had a couple of guys penetrate. Made DeMario Davis comes through clean, I think, on second down. But then you put Bijan in. Where do you make that decision to go to the little bit more of a shiftier, dynamic guy in that situation on fourth and one?
You know, it was funny because we went forward. I think it was first and goal on a one. They got a big stop. Second and goal. Third and goal. And we're sitting like, we better run this ball in. And we're kind of talking to ourselves thinking, hey, you deserve to run this football in, and we need to do it. And then that's part of the ugly. You know, those things have to be blocked well and let it make a decision on Tyler. Right? You just mentioned it. Somebody came through and blocked. That shouldn't happen. So run it again. You know, run it again. And then we put in Bijan and we run it again and tell him this is a gotta have it moment. You can reach the ball at this time. It's fourth down. You can do whatever. You can dive for the end zone. It don't matter where you are next to the sideline because you're turning over anyway to get in that end zone. And Bijan goes out there, makes a nice cut, goes to the backside, has a one-on-one with the corner, which you want him to be one-on-one with, makes that guy miss the score touchdown.
Yeah, just a phenomenal play. And really getting hat on a hat there, but he has to make one guy miss, and he gets in the end zone. I just skipped over an unbelievable play Mooney made to get it down inside the 5-yard line with that unbelievable catch on that corner route. Because we got to keep things moving here. Real quick, it's not you, not you. I know you got so much time, and I've got a little bit of time with you. Oh, wait, last thing about maybe some of the ugly or stuff you didn't like. Marquez Valdes-Scantling gets clean, running what looked like an over route, kind of got isolated on a safety potentially. Was that something that they just schemed you on there?
No, you want to talk about ugly. You want to talk about them coming to the line of scrimmage with great urgency, quick snap the ball. You get in the call late, you're moseying around, you're not quite ready. He's able to run by us, and he makes a play over top of us. Those things can't happen. Ball's ready, we got to be ready. And that's kind of what you're talking about when you're talking about parts of the game that was ugly. He comes in, he gets two huge plays. One you can deal with. One was a one-on-one loss with Clark out there in a contested situation. He makes that play. But if we take away that touchdown, those two big plays, you know, he has 100 yards in a day. And those two big plays really came back to bite you at the end.
Yeah. And it looked like the second catch over Clark. Clark makes the tackle down inside the 5-yard line. And it looked like maybe there was a miscommunication on the coverage down on the goal line when they tightened down with motion. Valdes-Scantling got in behind you guys.
Zero coverage. Those guys should pass that off fairly easy. Not really able to pass that off as well. And you know, Scantling makes a great play. And, again, that's part of the ugly. The ugly would be the quick snap to get down there. The one with Clark is part of the bad, just a one-on-one loss. And the other one's just ugly when you can't communicate that stuff and get that across the board. Quickly.
Well, there it is, your head football coach identifying some of the things that bothered them and got them out to that 17-7 hole. When we come back, we're going to talk about how this team regrouped, and it started with the defense and those two safeties in the back end setting the tone in the second half. We'll be right back with that here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Back with more of the Coach's Show with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, here's Dave Archer.
Back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Atlanta Falcons on a Falcon Monday. Falcons come up short in New Orleans 20-17. A lot of reasons why, but there are a lot of things to look forward to and a lot of things that Atlanta can carry in the second half into the Denver game this next weekend. And one of them was how the defense responded really in the final three quarters of the game, not the final half. But let's look at the second half in particular. Raheem, it started with the opening drive. Bates makes a play in the backfield, and then Simmons blows up a play over the middle, and all of a sudden that's a three and out, one of five that you guys contributed in the second half.
Yeah, those guys did a great job. You know, you talk about the urgency being created when we left. halftime. But for them to come out, like you said, basement, a big time play in the backfield for a 0 yard gain, shooting his gun from a quarter safety standpoint. And then we come out in a big third down play, and Simmons really plays a nice job on the fire post, breaking down out the post, making a play on the tight end across the ball. And it is how you play that position. This is what you want to see. Playmakers at their finest level, stopping, eliminating big plays, getting off the grass. We created the three and outs that you talked about. And that's how you play winning football. And so the guys yesterday had a winning performance in a loss. And we got to find ways to win that football game.
All right. Well, the second half really starts to develop for both the offense and the defense. Offense gets it rolling now. You get the run game cranked up. London makes a couple of big-time grabs for you in that next drive. And unfortunately, you get two major penalties. You get one holding penalty. You overcome the holding penalty, but then kind of a phantom illegal block on Lindstrom puts you behind the chains again. You have to settle for three, but you kind of felt like things were starting to develop offensively in that drive.
You know, it's just things where you kind of kill yourself in the red zone, and when the play happens, whether they're penalties or not, they happen. We can't allow them to happen. Lindstrom kind of got tripped up, and he fell into someone's legs, and they say it could be a clipping or the unnecessary roughness down the field, and those things happen, and you're not able to overcome those things, but then that's the point where you got to punch those field goals in and get those things to go. But our offense is fully capable of scoring touchdowns without penalty and playing penalty-free ball. We got to go out there and do it.
Well, that's not the first time you guys overcame major penalties. That one just happened to be two in the same drive, ultimately stunted the drive, 17-10. So New Orleans gets their biggest play in the second half. It's a screen play to Kamara, a three-count screen. It looked like he got out on Troy. I don't know if Troy re-injured himself or what. It looked like he hurt himself a little bit on the play, but that's the only play they made in the second half. It was a 31-yard play, and you exchange field goals.
Troy did. You know, Troy was just getting back off injury, and he stunned himself on that play. You know, kind of retweaked it a little bit and got out there, and Kamara got in open space. And when he gets in open space, that's always going to be a problem. We call it shoot awareness. He broke the shoot, and then he's running, and now he's trying to get a bunch of people to get him on the ground. He think he got about a 34-yard scamper right there, and after that happened, we were able to buckle back down and light up.
Yeah, you shut the door right there. So let's go to maybe one of the biggest plays I thought of the game. Third down, I think it was third and seven, third and six, and number eight, your big-time tight end comes up with a big-time grab down the left sideline.
I think it was third and ten.
It was a third and ten, okay.
Right. I believe. I can go back, but it's third and ten. We make the call. He's over there with a one-on-one matchup versus their big-time corner, Alante Taylor, and Kirk gives him an opportunity ball, throws it up to him on a go ball, and he goes up and gets it at the highest point and looks exactly like you want Kyle Pitts to look. He's getting better and better every single week, and it's about finding the rhythm and getting him the rock when you can. And when he gets opportunity balls like that, he makes up the best of his opportunities, and I love that for him.
All right, Bijan answers after the big play. Bijan makes you get a hat on a hat, but one guy's going to be unblocked, and he ran through the safety and got you one of those explosive touchdown runs you've been looking for.
David just corrected me and told me it was a third down and seven on the Cal Blitz play, but that run by Bijan, man, was absolutely outstanding. He gets into the open grass, and he stumbles a little bit, and for a guy to stumble and to be able to regain his footing and to run like that away from people, particularly good defenders, is amazing.
How many times, Raheem, had you, because you've seen it, you're right there. There's been eyelash moments where this has happened, been close to happening a number of times. You finally got it.
I mean, it almost feels like every time you touch the ball, it's like the last trip, the last ankle grab, whatever the case may be. He's just so dynamic and so explosive. It looks like he can score from anywhere in the football field, and I believe he can. And he's only getting better. He's getting more patience. He's starting to find a better rhythm behind both sides of the scheme, whether it be zone scheme, whether it be gap scheme, whatever the scheme's been. He's just getting better and better every single week, and he's fun to watch.
Well, three and out fest continues for the defense as they continue to keep the Saints from being able to get anything done. A couple of plays that I wanted to point out. Now, Caleb McGarry's probably going to take a bath with the fan a little bit, because there were a couple plays where that we got edge pressure off of that right side. Can you go through the tape a little bit? Because McGarry gets tripped on two plays. He gets tripped by Lindstrom once, and then Bijan, unforgivably, is coming up to try to get some protection, and he trips him as well.
So we got two issues there. We got the slide going that way, and we either set too wide or set too short between those two players. They trip on each other between Lindstrom and McGarry. That can't happen. That's part of the ugly I'm talking about. No self-inflicted wounds. And then we do it again with Bijan coming through, clipping him on his other side and tripping him from the other way, and it's like just like a bad day on Caleb. At that point, it's like, you know, It's like his own teammates are picking on him at that point. So they tripped him twice to give up those two hits and those two sacks and those two pressures. And you hate it for the kid because, you know, obviously when you see it on game day, the tackles and the corners, they get the most blame for everything.
Sure.
We've always talked about that. I said they all need to have a group together so they can all talk because that's the thing that's open to everybody out in the stadium. The only thing you can see is a tackle get beat or a corner get beat. The rest of the stuff you always miss, right? But that's just the life we chose. It's the life they live in, and he knows how to deal with that type of pressure.
You're listening to Raheem Morris, the head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons here on the Coach's Show, and we got Raheem for another few minutes here as we break down the game and get ready for Denver. Okay, Raheem, let's fast forward to the end of the football game, and there's a lot of good stuff that was in there. But you get Algier and Robinson running the football. You've got some stuff going on there. All of a sudden, now you got the pass game going. It's all working, and you're climbing back into the football game. Tell me about the way things developed in that drive at the two, just before 2 minutes. You got the football, you start moving the football, and Kirk tries to shove one of those ones down the middle that he's completed. I don't know, he's completed 15 of them this year. A little bit pressure, and Matthew comes up with the interception.
You know, Kurt would tell you, he'll be the first one to tell you, he shouldn't have tried to jam that ball in there, got a little greedy, particularly with the safety bearing down, playing that low. He knows it, we know it. It was one of the few mistakes that he's made in the game, and he probably should have dotted that on Kyle and got the yards and kept it moving. It was 2nd and 8, I believe. I'm sure David will correct me in the next couple of minutes, but it was 2nd and 8. He should have dotted it right there on Kyle, let Kyle turn and possibly get the first down. But instead, we threw the interception, and that was critical. But the fight in your football team, the fight in these guys, man, to just never be out of it. Knowing you're going to get an opportunity is just something that I love about this football team, and it's something that we can grow with every single week.
Yeah, you got it. You got a chance to get the football back, and albeit, you know, a mistake by New Orleans where Kamara got clean on a play and he dropped the football, so you get the ball back.
And play call bottom my head.
What?
I mean, you're in a 4-minute situation and they get a zero blitz with a 1-on-1 versus the linebacker in that situation, and they take a go ball shot. What a great play call. And we were fortunate in that one, man. You get a little luck in this game, and that was one of the times you got a little luck when they dropped it and saved us a timeout. It also gave us a chance to go down in 2 minutes and try to win it.
Yeah, no question about it. Gave an opportunity. Raheem, when you look at it, it was third and eight. David, we got David Bassidy here. He's our stats guy. And we know how Raheem feels about stats. So when you get to that, there's a lot of things that happen in the final. You get a couple really big completions that get you probably in position to potentially put Koo on the field. Maybe one more completion is going to put Koo in position to maybe go tie this game and send it to overtime. And you get the unfortunate sack. Jake gets beat around the edge, ball's out. Raheem, at that point, you got notes. You had to burn your timeout right there. Now you have no timeouts. What's the thought process? Because you're probably not going to be able to get a first down on third down, and you're going to have to go fast on fourth down. What do you do from a play call standpoint? Do you call two? What do you do there?
So let's go a little bit before that.
Okay. You know,
before that, we're in position to win the football game.
Yeah.
We're in position to possibly score touchdowns. We still got the timeout in our pocket and throwing our best that point. We take the sack. We get the long. We lose all the yardage. So I have to burn the timeout. We only got the 30 seconds on. We get another chunk completion trying to move it up again, and there's another chunk completion trying to get it somewhere out of bounds. We're able to get that ball to Ray, but if we can go down the field a little bit, potentially hitting something out, going out of bounds, then we can come on the field and kick that thing. But when you get tackled in bounds, you run out of time right then. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just a tougher situation. It was a great tackle. I went right to that Saints defender and told him what a great tackle that was on the sideline on Ray. And not allowing us to go try to kick that game win the field goal, that game time field goal.
Yeah, the hindsight can be 20/20 there, but having been in those situations for as a player, that's just. As much as you try to plan for everything, Raheem, that's one that's very difficult to plan for. Don't have a timeout, and you've got to get about 30 yards to get a first down.
That's exactly right. You know, it's a must out of bounds situation, and you plan for those things, and we got plays called for it. Unfortunately, we went to our chip check down as opposed to trying to take the shot down the field. And probably one of those throws you want back. But, you know, like you can never second question the guys going out there and completing 300 yards for you passing and going out there giving everything he can every single time off every single mistake. So it's like, hey, man, you know, wish we could have got out of bounds right there and see if Koo could have had a chance to have redemption Sunday.
That would have been fun.
But It is what it is, man. We lost that game, and we got to bow back up and get ready for this next coming week.
All right, so let's shift gears and look at Denver real quick. This is a Denver team that has got a rookie quarterback. They've done some really good stuff on offense. They've struggled at times on offense. We know Sean Payton's their head football coach, but there is no doubting that this group's pretty salty on defense. You know, tell me about that that side of the football and what you're seeing and what you like about what they're doing defensively.
Well, you know, first of all, like the coordinator Vance Joseph has done such a great job with those guys and getting them lined up. You know, really revamping that defense, bringing in some new people, using some of the people that they had. They've done such a great job of being stout. They're probably top five in almost every category that you would talk about when you love stats. And they are. They do such a good job with those things. And the young guys on offense are playing well, particularly with the quarterback and keeping that thing efficient. To get those guys out to what was a 5-3 start into their last two losses with a one possession loss to the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. So we're talking about a good football team that we better be ready for. And we're going to their house when they are already a little salty and a little angry as well. But so are we. So it's going to be a good one.
I love it. This will be a good football game. A couple more things for you that I think that the fan will probably think of, and they'll probably get pounded in their head. You're going to go play in the Mile High City. Is there anything that you can do at this point in time to get ready to play at elevation, or does it make any difference?
You know, for the players, for the most part, no. You know, only thing you got to worry about is all you guys who potentially have a sickle cell trait. Mm. You know, that's always a factor.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure you get the guys on the right development throughout the week, which our guys will do. You know, we'll get those guys hydrated. We'll make sure we do all the necessary steps that you got to do, prepare for the elevation, prepare for the dehydration, everything that you can do to get those guys ready to prepare and ready to go out there and play a game.
Does it change your rotation a little bit? Does it speed up maybe not quite as many plays in a row for guys as they rotate in?
You know, it may be uses of the whole depth chart,
okay,
which we've done in a couple different spots, and maybe we got to use a bit more for some other people, but we certainly got to go get ready for it, and when it happens, the guy's got to be prepared to go.
By the way, you talk about a guy rotated in. Khalid Kareem did a pretty good job for a guy that just brought up off practice squad.
He did, man. Like I told you, man, this roster is built on a 60-man team roster, and him getting up, setting the edges, doing some good things that he was able to do, fired up about the young man and what he was able to bring us.
All right, I know Joey will have you ready from an equipment standpoint. Going to be potential some weather up there. It's a little cooler this time. Everybody plays in it, so not a concern there, right?
No, we look, man, a low of 29, a high of 46. Man, we're ready to go, man. We'll look at those things. Joey, get us all right for this type of temperature. It's perfect football weather for the guys for the most part. So only people that ought to be cold are the coaches.
There it is. Raheem said he'll have a T-shirt on for the game. That's Raheem Morris. That's our head football coach here on the Coaches Show. Rob, thanks for your time. Appreciate you as always. And we'll talk to you next week after a double.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Finley Roofing.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's time for the player of the game on the Coach's Show. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Back here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, it's time for our player spotlight here on Falcon Monday, and we catch up with Matthew Bergeron, our starting left guard, and he's been the starter since he got here. What's that been like? I mean, the whole transition from tackle at Syracuse, you know, some 46 games as a tackle, all of a sudden you're playing guard, and you've started, what, 27 straight games?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a big transition. I feel like, you know, Coach Leffert did a good job, and you know, Chris took me under his wing as well, teach me the position, and I feel like I've been learning. You know, every game I'm getting better, and that's the mentality, and I hopefully I can keep getting better and be in a better position to help this team, you know, win football games.
You got thrown a little bit of a curveball, as you all did, when Drew Dahlman got hurt in midway through that Kansas City game, and Ryan Neuzel has stepped in, and you guys don't look like you've missed a beat.
No doubt. I mean, Ryan Neuzel had to step in last year as well, so, you know, Neuzel's been in the mix ever since he got here, and I feel like everybody's just comfortable when I'm in there, so he's done a great job, and it just shows the depth and how good of a job Coach Leffert is doing. Making sure guys are ready to go. Kyle Hinton came in as well whenever Chris or I went down, and everybody's doing a good job. So it just shows how good of a coaching we have.
Yeah, it's a good cohesive unit. You guys got a nice room there with everybody blending in and trying to help and chip in and win a game. All right, yesterday didn't go the way you guys wanted it to go. Tell me about early on. Did you get some looks you weren't expecting? Anything like that kind of maybe threw you early where you didn't get off to quite that start you wanted?
As far as for us, we definitely shot ourselves in the foot, in the first quarter. And, we have plenty of opportunity to help our defense, help the team, and maybe score some points to make that a tire of a game early on. But, yeah, we have something to correct today, but we're going to make the adjustments and be better for Sunday.
You haven't had a chance to play this game and be around offensive linemen. I always said that the tightest room in the building is always the offensive line room. You guys go eat together, you hang out together, and it's fun to see a unit like you guys have. So you also take offense to things, I would assume. And some of it, you get great joy in running the football, but if your quarterback's on the ground behind you, you're not taking that too well either. Tell me about, first of all, the first part of it. These two guys that are running the rock behind you in the holes you're creating. Bijan goes for over 100 yards yesterday. You guys had, I think, 180 yards rushing yesterday. Tell me about the pride you take in coming off the ball and mashing people.
I mean, it's a lot of pride, and I feel like it just shows how good everybody bought in the run game. Drake, Ray, Mooney, all those guys coming in blocking, because it takes all 11 to run the football, and it just shows how good of a unit we have. And yeah, we take a lot of pride in the run game, and our goal is to run the ball every game, and on the schedule. So whenever we're not able to, we're going to complement off, with throwing the ball and having guys like Drake make plays and get us out of trouble.
I appreciate the fact that you would point out those little guys on the outside, because they do a great job of blocking. Kyle Pitts has done a nice job of developing his blocking game. Of course, Charlie Warner and what he does there. All right, well, the other side of that is you don't want your quarterback on the ground behind you guys. I think there was 3 sacks yesterday, and there's a variety of reasons why that happens. But tell me about that part of it, blending the run game with the ability to pass block. It's tough to do both at a high level.
No, it definitely is, hard to do at a high level, but at the same time, we can't shoot ourselves in the foot like we did this past game. And like I said, we made the adjustments today as far as the pass protection. We have to be better. We have to strain. We have to focus on the fundamentals this week because, the Broncos have a good defensive line. I mean, they got a good defense overall, so I think it's going to be a big, big, big challenge for us as far as protecting the passer.
Yeah, I headed to Mile High City this weekend, and it is a good Denver Bronco defense in the top 5 in the league in a number of categories. And that's who you're going to take on at altitude. Does it worry you a little bit, going up in altitude or any of that kind of stuff? I mean, everybody thinks you're from Quebec, so they think, okay, you live on top of a mountain, but that's not the case.
Yeah, I'm excited to go to Denver. I've never been up there. Heard good stuff about it, so I'm definitely excited to go out there and compete at a high level with a team that's, coming in hungry off a loss day, off a game they should have won, and it's going to be a tough environment, so I think it's going to be a great atmosphere to go out there and compete.
Yeah, Kansas City got off the hook again. You guys had them on the hook, and they got off here, and they got off the hook yesterday against Denver. Denver misses a field goal, or had a field goal blocked at the end to allow them to go to 9-0. Denver this weekend for Matthew Bergeron, who's our guest here, a player spotlight here on the Falcons Coaches Show with Raheem Morris. Matt, let's go back and look at your background. I think that people had a chance maybe to hear your interview with you or on with Dukes and Bell or maybe a few weeks ago and maybe had a chance to listen. If you didn't, tell the fan a little bit about your background. Grew up in Canada, born in Canada, played high school football in Canada. You were the first guy to ever come out of your high school to get a scholarship. Talk to me about that and how cool that was to come out of Thetford and get that scholarship.
I mean, it was unreal, just so the way I got the scholarship is they took us down to a camp. Every college hosts a camp in the summer where athletes can just come in and compete, and that's what we did. They took us down there and competed all day and had a great day, and got a surprise a few days later. Coach called me and offered me, and I mean, that's probably the best feelings, the best feeling I had. The draft was probably up there too, but
I was gonna say.
I mean, it was just a great feeling there. Everybody was excited. And the coaches at Syracuse, they believed in me, and the biggest reason why I'm here right now, you know, just them believing in a kid from, you know, Quebec and trusting in me.
When you had a chance to visit with the coaches that are around the league, you were the second round draft pick here in Atlanta. In fact, Atlanta wanted to get you early, moved up and got you earlier in the second round to help secure this offensive line. So a lot of, you know, kudos paid to you as what they thought you could be. How much conversation was there around the league about you moving as a tackle? You played out there, what, 46 some odd games at Syracuse, and now all of a sudden you're going to slide inside. Was that conversation going on all the time?
I mean, it was definitely some back and forth. You know, some teams saw me as a tackle, some teams saw me as a guard, and Atlanta was one of the teams that saw me as a guard. And I was always open to the fact that, you know, to play inside, and I feel like, you know, I transitioned well into that role, and I think now I kind of like playing guard better than tackle, so I definitely appreciate it.
Walk the fans through the challenges of being out in space and moving and doing what you had to do there to now all of a sudden you're in a closet playing at that guard position.
I mean, I feel like when you're at tackle, it's kind of a boxing match in the ring, right? But then when you're at guard, it's kind of a fight in a phone booth, you know what I'm saying? Everything happens faster. You got to be quicker with your hands, quicker with your feet, and you're super dialed in with your pad level because those guys are short, stocky, and they super powerful on the inside, so you definitely got to be in tune with your fundamentals.
What do you appreciate about these two guys on the rock? We mentioned them a little bit. I know you guys take. We talked about great pride. You had 181 yards rushing yesterday, and both the guys contributed. And it's a key to everybody. You talked about blocking, but how about the guys running the rock with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier? What do you think about those two guys?
I mean, they're special. You know, we believe in this building that they're the best running backs in the league, and you know, obviously, we appreciate those guys. They're super humble, you know, dedicated as well about their grind and stuff like that. So they're just great teammates, and you know, that's why everybody's just so excited to run the football and see him just go out there and dominate. So yeah, it's just great to see those guys flourish and, you know, have success.
It was fun to see you guys finally get an explosive run too for a touchdown yesterday. As Bijan, you guys got a hat on a hat, and then Bijan runs through the safety and then he's off to the races. That was fun to see, no question about it. Matthew Bergeron hitting our player spotlight, the Falcons starting left guard. All right, when you take me into your room, take the fan into you guys' room, who's kind of the alpha in the room? Because you got a bunch of alphas if you're coming off the ball, shorting people's necks in the run game and all that. But who's the guy in there that's the leader?
As far as in the offensive line?
Offensive line, yeah.
I would say either Jake Matthews or Chris Lindstrom. You know, I think Chris is super twitchy. Yeah, I mean, he just mows people off the ground. And, he's a great player. And also, Jake Matthews, just an alpha in the room. He's the leader. And, you know, everybody listens when he talks.
That's awesome. Goals for yourself. Do you? I know you're such a team-oriented guy, and most offensive linemen are. They're not worried about what's going on as far as accolades. Chris has been to a Pro Bowl, so has Jake. Is that an aspiration you have, is to be a Pro Bowler or All-Pro? What are your thoughts as far as your individual accolades?
I mean, I would definitely, you know, love to have, you know, maybe half of the career those guys you mentioned had, you know, Chris and Jake, and they've been unbelievable. But yeah, you know, if that's something I could accomplish in the future, I would definitely be excited for it. But I think my goal, my personal goal, I would love to win a Super Bowl one day. So yeah, that's my goal. Yeah.
Well, there's millions of people that live here in the city that would line up behind you for that Super Bowl. There's no question about it. Matthew Bergeron here for a couple more minutes. We are on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, tell me about getting over a loss and moving on. You talked a little bit about some of the things that you got checked today as far as looking at the tape, but overall, what's the mindset got to be? Got to go on the road again and go beat a pretty good team.
I mean, when you're coming off a loss like that and you got to go back and play a pretty good team, you got to flush the loss quick. You know, I think today we made the adjustments we have to make, then tomorrow's our day off, and that's when you do what you got to do to flush the loss and flush the bad plays that you want back and stuff like that. You just got to forget it and start off on a clean slate.
What's Cousins meant to this team? You played with a couple quarterbacks last year, and no offense to them, but Cousins, a little bit different animal. What's he?
I mean, he's a great leader. He's the ultimate teammate, you know, just picks everybody up. And whenever he speaks, everybody listens. And I think he made a big difference in our offense from, you know, last year to this year.
All right, what's going on with the orange, man? When I think I'm going to jump on the orange bandwagon, we got McCord in there throwing the rock, and then he throws five picks in a game. I mean, what's going on with the orange?
I mean, it's tough. They started off this season strong. They had some up and downs lately, but I think they're going to, you know, they got six wins, right? So they can go to a bowl game, but hopefully they'll stack up, you know, a few more wins before the season ends. But yeah, I mean, they got a really good team, and that Frank Brown did a great job down there. Up there in Syracuse. So yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He's paying attention to the Orange up there in Syracuse as they're off to. They're going to be a bowl game, but they've struggled a couple times here late. But Matt, thanks for taking your time, dude. Keep blocking, keep getting off the ball. Go get you a Pro Bowl, but go get you a Super Bowl championship.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Matthew Bergeron here on the home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.